This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne, and here's a voice that made headlines this week. That's believed to be Osama bin Laden. The new message appeared on the eve of President Obama's speech in Cairo. It's the latest sign the al-Qaeda leader is alive, up on events, and communicating with the outside world. But as NPR's Mary Louise Kelly reports, a number of factors may now be combining to make bin Laden's safe haven in Pakistan less safe.
Nowhere is that bin Laden tape being scrutinized quite as closely as right here. We are in Langley, Virginia. This is the front gate to CIA headquarters. Just past this gate, analysts are scouring that tape for clues. They're asking, is it really him? Can we tell when bin Laden might have recorded this? Does he sound healthy? And of course, the big question, where is he?
The trail for bin Laden was allowed to get stone cold over 7 years.
7 years since bin Laden became the most wanted man on the planet. Former and current intelligence officials, such as Bruce Rydell, who we just heard, say the U.S. has never gotten close, not once, since bin Laden slipped away in the Tora Bora Mountains back in December 2001. But there is today a modest but growing sense that bin Laden's luck may change.
The Obama administration smells blood here. I think al-Qaeda is on its heels.
That's Juan Zarate, the top counterterrorism official in President Bush's White House. Zarate, who's now at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, points first to the Pakistan Army's current offensive against the Taliban in Swat Valley and other areas. He says it's too soon to tell how that operation will play out, but he says clearly it is shrinking the spaces where bin Laden and those who shelter him can move freely.
You could envision a policy on the part of the Pakistani government and military to actually pressure the Taliban and pressure some of these safe havens where it would serve as a dual anvil along with U.S. activities from the Afghan side to actually pressure al-Qaeda, make them feel uncomfortable, and perhaps make the senior leadership make mistakes.
So there's the military offensive in Pakistan, the 21,000 additional U.S. troops pouring in across the border in Afghanistan, and Zarate points to a third factor, drones. U.S. Predator strikes in Pakistan are controversial. They cause civilian casualties and stoke anti-Americanism. But in a rare public speech last month, CIA Director Leon Panetta defended Predator attacks as precise and effective.
And very frankly, it's the only game in town in terms of confronting and trying to disrupt the al-Qaeda leadership.
Predator strikes aren't a new tactic, but the pace and precision of attacks has increased considerably since last summer. Two U.S. officials confirm that in the past year, Predator attacks have killed 11 out of 20 on the Pentagon's most wanted list along the Pakistan-Afghanistan border. And it's not just the top leadership, says a U.S. counterterrorism official who spoke on condition he not be named. The official says al-Qaeda has also lost trainers, explosives experts, people across all levels of the network. The official adds, quote, "This is the most pressure they've been under since they left Afghanistan back in 2001. Hank Crumpton is a career CIA officer who led the agency's Afghan campaign after 9/11. He says Predator strikes are useful on two fronts. They have disrupted terror attacks, and they help in the hunt for bin Laden.
Using the Predator and other drones, it gives us an opportunity to create a great deal of uncertainty, of fear, among enemy leaders. It forces them to communicate more, forces them to move more, which provides other opportunities.
Opportunities for the CIA and other spy agencies to exploit. But Crumpton cautions that drone strikes are just the first step in what should be a broad counterinsurgency campaign. Bruce Rydell agrees. He's the CIA veteran who led the Obama administration's recent strategy review for Pakistan and Afghanistan.
In the end, they're a tactic. They can be a very effective tactic, but they're not really a strategy. It's a little bit like going after a beehive one bee at a time. You may be successful, but it's going to take a long time to go at it that way.
Still, if one of those bees could be Osama bin Laden, that would mark a huge success, says Juan Zarate, the ex-White House official.
If bin Laden, the senior leadership of al-Qaeda, can be killed or captured, you've really set al-Qaeda back and you've closed a chapter in the war on terror that al-Qaeda, I don't think, can recover from.
Not everyone agrees that catching bin Laden would cripple the global jihadist movement. That's another whole debate. But what's clear from the new recordings this week from both bin Laden and his deputy, Ayman al-Zawahiri, is they are not, as Bruce Riedel puts it, cowering in the back of a cave.
I've been a student of their statements for well over a decade now. And I don't see any sign in them that these are individuals who think time is running out for them. To the contrary, much of what they talk about betrays a sense of optimism on their part that they're still in the fight, that the intelligence agencies of virtually the entire world have been looking for them, and that they've successfully eluded their pursuers.
But for how much longer? After so many years of chasing shadows, it's unfashionable for U.S. intelligence officials to betray even guarded optimism. Still, they say the combination of Pakistan's military push, the U.S. troop increase in Afghanistan, and the stepped-up drone strikes add up to a uniquely promising moment. Hank Crumpton, the former CIA official who once helped lead the chase for bin Laden, says he's cautiously hopeful. Of course, he adds, I've been cautiously hopeful for years. Mary Louise Kelly, NPR News, Washington.